You know, there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing, say that, there is nothing too hard for God. You know, and I said, that may sound like a trite, stale, overbaked, overused statement, but it is the truth. You know, the sun comes up every day. That might be trite, but it's a new day every day. God, and it's a, when I say to you that nothing is too hard for God, it's a brand new ability, because that's exactly what the Bible has proved over and over and over and over and over again. Just as faithful as the sun is to come up, he is more faithful than that. Not only that, the sun, you know, we read about miracles in the Bible. We read about the healing, the multiplication of resources, casting out of demons, the wonderful healings, and all of these things that happened. But then, and you were in meetings like this, and all of a sudden, you go home after you're with the Christians and you're with faith, and your faith is all charged. Then you go home to those four walls of, what we call reality. And all of a sudden, you're isolated and alone, and those little voices of doubt, unbelief, and fear start doing their devilish work to try to rip the word out of you, steal the word of God, kill your faith, and destroy your hope. And then you get back into church and everything's fine. What was all that worry about? What was it? Right. Consistency. You know, we read about all these things in the Bible, but we need to carry them with us. Write those things down. Gail, you are freer than I have ever seen you before. You are lighter. Your countenance is happier than I have ever seen you before. She has a testimony, too. We're going to hear that testimony sometime soon. Amen, Gail? Nothing is too hard for God. Oh, hallelujah. God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil. He comes to steal. God comes to give. He's a giver. He's a blesser. He's an anointer. He's an empowerer. You know, the devil wants to steal everything. He doesn't, you know, you were created. When God created you, he had a plan and a purpose for your life. And he had that plan and purpose before he even created you. Just like when, God had everything all set for the first 5 days of the universe, and then he made Adam, and everything was prepared for him. When you came into this earth, God had everything prepared for you too. But we made choices that were wrong, and this, and we applied the wrong things. And somehow we missed it. Until we got born again. And we became new creatures. That was when we first took our steps toward fulfilling the call and purpose of God in our life. And that is, by the way, the only thing that will ever fulfill you. Accept that as the ultimate truth. The only thing that will ever fulfill you is to fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life. Now that's, you'd be walking tall cotton. Oh, that's good. So, don't let the devil steal from you the truth that God deposits in your heart and what you receive in fellowshipping with each other. Yeah, there's valuable nuggets that we have for each other in that fellowship. And it says, John said, we declare these things unto you that you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When we fellowship together in that, he is there in the midst of us. And he starts to impart and bless, anoint, deliver, and all the things we talked about earlier. Those things are real. Those weren't just platitudes. Unless you didn't believe it, then they are. But if you believe it and receive it, you have it. It's yours. So let's turn in the scriptures to Mark chapter 4, which is our text for this series of getting to the other side. And today we're talking about dealing with obstacles. And let's declare this together, shall we? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me.
This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him.
This word is God speaking to me.
So, in verse 34 of Mark chapter 4, Jesus had been speaking parables to them all day. And it says, without a parable, he did not speak to them unless he spoke a parable. And when they were alone, he expounded on all these things. Write that down. When he was alone with them, he expounded on all of these things to his disciples. And the same day, what day was that? That was the same day he opened up the scripture and expounded all this. What was that? The parable of the sower, the power of the word, the reproductive power of the word, the creative power of the word, the authoritative power of the word of God. How it's the way the whole kingdom of heaven operates, by the power of the word. That's how creation happened, by the power of his word. He's expounding all these things. That same day, when evening was come, he said, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. And we talked about that last week, about taking Jesus as he is, taking the word of God as it is written, simply as it is written. Take it as it is. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to rearrange it to fit into your circumstances. No. Your circumstances are temporary. The word of God is eternal. When you take the eternal word of God and apply it to your circumstances will change by the power of the word. Don't try to put your circumstances up here and make it fit into the word somehow. That won't happen. No. Take him even as he is into your boat. But when you read your own meaning into it, it loses its power and it ends up to be nothing more but dried up old gray-haired Pentecostal religion. It doesn't work. See, well, I prayed. Yeah, but you added to everything and you took away everything to me, and nothing means anything. You're not praying the word, you're praying what you thought it said. Isn't it? It's a real thing. So they sent him out and they took him even as he is into the ship, and there were also other little ships with him. And there arose a great storm of wind. There's a phrase here, there arose. This denotes something that happens suddenly, unexpected, catches you off guard. How many of us have been taken off guard? About our nation right now. And a great storm of wind. This is clearly not a rainstorm, a drizzle, or a torrential rain, but a storm of wind. And the word great is the word mega. M-E-G-A. Mega! This is mega, and it means something of enormous, something of massive. It's a massive thing. A great storm of wind. It's massive proportions. Because Mark used the word mega here, it alerts us to the fact that this was a mega storm with mega winds. This was big. This wasn't your average storm. In fact, the word wind is the word lollilops. Lollilops. And in other Greek literature, it was used to describe violent turbulence such as a hurricane or a fierce sea squall, tempest, gale, cyclone. So we can conclude that this was a pretty formidable storm that was coming down on Jesus and the disciples. Rick Renner, who is a Greek scholar who studies ancient Greek manuscripts and so forth, and other Greek literature to kind of put things together and how things were used, translated this verse to say this. And suddenly and unexpectedly, as if it came out of nowhere, there arose a gale of wind. It was a ferocious tempest with winds that were terribly violent, turbulent, and overpowering. Man alone did not have power against the storm. One more thing about the storm that really brings us to the subtitle of this, which is dealing with the obstacles, is why this storm came. We kind of touched on that last week. But you remember, there was the demoniac of Gadara. This is where they were going. And Jesus was on the brink of one of his greatest miracles in his ministry. And the devil was also afraid he was going to lose one of his prized weapons of terror, this demoniac. He was about ready to lose one of his pride possessions, pun intended. Because the demoniac was possessed by a legion of demons. But Jesus stood up and he took authority, his authority, over that storm. You remember, Jesus forfeited everything that was rightfully his as the Son of God and became a man just like you and me. And he never did a miracle until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. What does that tell you? When you receive the Spirit, you have ability far beyond that of mortal man. It was at this exact moment that this turbulence came down on him. We know where this was coming from, and we know why it was coming. The devil was trying to protect his little sin city. He was trying to protect that demoniac. You know, it takes a long time to become filled with a legion of demons. Jesus said, once a demon goes out of a person and it walks in dry places and it brings seven more worse than himself back, this process had to be repeated and repeated and repeated until you get a legion, which is about 5,000 to 12,000 men. That's what a Roman legion was. That's why he said, my name is a legion, for we are many. Jesus was one. And he said, are you come here to torment us before God? I don't care how many demons are coming against you. You have authority over them. Why is this happening? You know, this would represent the wind, represents an invisible force that's coming against us. That's what it represents to us. You know, President Trump called the COVID-19 virus an invisible enemy numerous times. Think about that. Numerous times. It took us by surprise. It threatened to sink this nation physically through physical incapacitation and death, immobilization and isolation. You talk, this thing came right out of the pit of hell. We were made to fellowship and now we're isolated. Thank God for Zoom. It was designed to destroy us economically and internally. We talked about the escalation of domestic violence that happened during that time. Crime, theft, murder, suicide. It all rose during that time. Now, we have these riots blown all out of proportion by the race mongers. Take advantage of everything. Now, ask yourself this. Why was it that these riots occurred on the very day of the very week that the Obamagate trials were started? Think about that. I'm not getting political here, but just think about that. I mean, we know the outcome of all that. We know what happened. They just got to prove it and get some spine and administer United States constitutional justice. That's what our Congress and our Senate has to do, and rise up and get the Constitution and be, because of men and women, but be a man about it.
Yes.
Why are these things happening? Why? I'll tell you why. It's the devil. raising up an unexpected storm, and he blows flames on it just last night. Another one. Verse 38. Are we there? Yeah. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and saying to him, Master, carest not that we perish? You know, when you're isolated and you're not fellowshipping with Christians, hearing the word, getting your faith, you know, built up, faith comes by hearing the word of God, by giving and receiving and operating that way in fellowship. But when you're isolated and alone, you start thinking, does God really care? Don't go there. He's already proved he cares more about you than any person could ever care about you. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great, great, mega, same word. There was a great, he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How does faith come? What was he doing all day? Teaching them the word. What was he doing when he sent them away and privately sat down with his disciple and opened the whole thing up to them? Why didn't they have any faith? Well, they were hearing with two ears. Double-minded. They weren't hearing. They weren't valuing what he said. You know, I remember Keith Moore sharing one time. He said, well, Lord, how come it is? I mean, we're just Hicks from Louisiana. How did, you know, why us? And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, because Keith, I knew you would value it. If I can get this, I was a drunken rock and roller. Atheist, too. I had it all going for me, huh? And lonely and miserable and thought I had the world by the tail. How is it that you have no faith? The implication is here, you can do this. Then chapter 5, verse 1 says, and they came over to the other side. They came over to the other side. They came over to the other side. So, we just mentioned our nation has some obstacles we're facing now. But we know that all things are possible with God and nothing is too hard for God. He can bring this whole thing together. But even as Kelly was saying, and prophecy came, we need to start worshiping God. Not just here, at home, privately. Private, that's where he really values worship. That's where he really excels in his fellowship with you. I'll share something with you. During World War II, the Defense Language Institute was developed. Now it's located in the Presidio in Monterey, California. But it was originally up in Minneapolis and moved to Cleveland, and it went out to there. It was the Defense Department wanted to develop a program to understand even the most obscure languages in order to be equipped to intercept foreign strategies against the United States. There was many other purposes for this, but that was the primary one. And if you went there and you spoke English just to learn, let's say, an Asian language, you were not permitted to speak English at all. You were spoken that Asian language with Japanese or Mandarin or Cantonese, Chinese, whatever. Only that language was to be heard by you and spoken by you. Listen to this. They found this. They found that within 9 weeks, the student could speak the new language fluently. Within 9 weeks. The student could speak the new language fluently, and within 1 year, they would be a qualified interpreter. Not just the language, but understanding the culture, the cultural and colloquial expressions that carry meaning beyond the words of the language. Why is that? Being immersed in the language. The immersion technique was by far the best technique for rapid acceleration to acquire their desired results. Isn't that amazing? Total immersion. And in recent years, other experiments were conducted. Eyeglasses were put on a person's head and they were taped on to cause a person to see upside down. So the ceiling would be the floor, people are walking upside down. You're seeing exactly the opposite of everything. But after 3 days, something absolutely miraculous happens. Their eyes start to accommodate to it and they see everything right side up. Then the glasses are removed. Now they're really confused. And they're seeing everything upside down. But within 3 days, guess what happens? It reverts back and they start seeing everything right side up. It's an amazing thing. That was done, I think, in the late 90s they did that. But we were designed both physically and mentally to conform to whatever we allow to influence us. Let that just simmer in your pot for a little while. Stir it up. The sudden immersion into a foreign language, eyesight, inversion, and other conditioning brings out our God-designed ability to adapt to any environment. Why am I saying this? Well, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you want to know God, and if you want to understand and walk with God, you need to be immersed in all that is God, and that is the Word of God. And when you are immersed in that Word, you start taking on the form of that Word. And it starts creating in you many things that are already God, the eternal things, and it starts to produce in you everything that is in that Word. You'll begin to adapt to Him. You'll begin to understand His kingdom principles and understand His heart, His power, His purposes. And you'll also hear His voice very clearly. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. I lead them. And they follow. This principle is throughout the Word of God. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Moses died. Joshua is coming to try to fill his shoes. Could you imagine that? Filling somebody's shoes who parted the Red Sea. Anyhow. He said to Joshua in verse 8. This is when the Lord is bringing Joshua up to sit in Moses' seat. He said, Joshua, this book of the law, and that word law is the Word of God. I think we can understand that. This book of the Word of God shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate day and night. Immerse in the Word of God. Immerse in the Word of God. You know, baptism is immersion in water, which is a symbol of the Word, the washing of the water by the Word, being sanctified by it, being baptized in the Word. That's what it represents, a full immersion into the Word of God, to know God's heart. God's Word comes from His heart. I wrote a song a long time ago called Holy Breath of the Father, Word of our true God. You made all things through faith by creating for that which you believe. Father of glory, You've declared yourself to be the sovereignty of all things throughout eternity. And this is life eternal, that we might know you and Jesus Christ who came from your heart into my life. Meditate, immerse yourself. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. James 1:25 says, whoever looks in the law of liberty, by the way, law of liberty is the word of God. Jesus said, that word is truth. And he said, if you are my disciples, continue in my words, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And he said, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, continues in it, continues in it, continues in it, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The word of God will produce blessing in your life. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Why am I saying all of this? Well, here's another principle, too. When you are a doer of the word, you're walking in the authority of the word. You're not walking in your own authority. You're walking in the authority of the word of God. Everything was created by the word of God. Therefore, everything is subject to the word of God. And when you are walking and declaring the word of God, and you're walking in that authority, then everything that is out of the will of God becomes subject to you, and you can conform to the will of God. Because you are his agent in this world. You are his ambassador. You know what? Ambassador gives you diplomatic rights. Diplomatic immunity to the things of this world. So that you can go in and you can go into those dark places and declare the word of God and they will conform to you. If not immediately, eventually. You hold the rod of God right here. This is the authoritative word of the living God. And if you look in Exodus, look at this. Exodus 14, verse 15 and 16, it says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Now, he had just delivered them from Egypt. They're out there in the wilderness. The Egyptian army is coming to do nothing more than destroy every Jew in their sight. And the Red Sea is right there. There's no place to go. They are sitting ducks for a highly skilled army. And the Lord says, why are you crying to me? You speak to the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift up your rod. Lift up the word of God. Lift that up and stretch out your hand over what? The sea? Where was Jesus and the disciples? On the sea? So, and divided, the children of Israel go over on dry grounds in the midst of the sea. Too many times we're crying to the Lord to change this, change that, change this situation. Lord, help me in this situation. And the Lord is saying, look, we have a better covenant than Moses had. And he said to Moses, look, you have in your hand, why are you crying to me? Do what I told you to do. Stretch out. Do you think I brought you out here and did all those 10 plagues on Israel just to leave you out here and die? Look at the track record he has had in your life.
Yes.
Has he not been faithful in those, all of the, you're here. Yes. You made it through. That's progress. Now we need to add blessing to it. Now we need to add wholeness to it. Now we need to add faith to it. And all these things, look, God is opening up the windows of heaven to his people in this hour.
Yes.
You need to know the authority that you have in the word of God. Take it. Use it. Walk in it. Experience it. Take it. Use it. Experience. Walk in it. Take it. Use it. Walk in it. Experience. Is he the same God of the church as he was to Moses and the Israelites? Same God. Same power. Yep. Mark 5 says they made it over to the other side. How did they make it over to the other side and not just sink right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? By demonstration, Jesus showed them how to do it. Speak to those, rebuke those winds and speak to the sea. Rebuke those winds and speak to the sea. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, Paul said, which we preach. It's the word of God. It's not your word. It's his word, and it works no matter who's speaking it. As long as you have faith in that word and believe that he who spoke it is faithful, when you speak it, you will have what you say. You will have what you say. It will conform to your word. Why? Because you have the authority. That authority has been invested in you. Don't speak to God about how great the storm is that's coming down on you. You're forfeiting your authority if you do that. Remember, the word of God is delegated authority to you. We said that earlier. This word is God's authority being delegated to you. Speak to the storm the result you desire. Peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding to the world, will wake up and say, wow, maybe there is something to that. Maybe there's a place in that for me. Maybe I need to get saved. Don't speak to God about how big the mountain is. You're forfeiting your authority. Speak to the mountain the result you desire. Be removed. Be cast. Speak victory. Speak strength. Speak healing. Speak authority. Speak life. Speak blessings. Speak God's ability. God's Holy Ghost power. The power of the Word of God. Speak those things. Charles Capps, years ago in the 70s, the Lord told him, he was preparing for a meeting, and the Lord just spoke to him right out of the blue. And he said, I told my people they can have what they say, but my people are saying what they have. And if you're saying what you have, you're just agreeing with the problem. But if you want to have what you say and declare the result that you desire, that's the way you were wired. Oh, that rhymes. Don't know it. But the word show it. That's it. The authority is in the word of God. That authority, that word has been given to you, and you speak it, even as you will. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask or call forth what you will, and it will be desired. That's Jesus' talk. It's not the Gospel of Tom. That's Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that all things are possible with you. And Lord, you have invested that possibility down inside our spirit. And we thank you, Father, that you've made all things new, that we are new creations. We are subject to your word and not the authority of this world. Not the powers of this world. Not worldly powers. But we are subject to you. And Lord, we take you as your